My name is Roland. I'm in Studio B, live Studio B sessions on WNCW, are made possible by Sierra Nevada Brewing Company. And we got a good one today, folks. Jason Isbell and Amanda Shires are here. Welcome.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for coming in. When was the last time you were in here?
Man, that's a question for somebody else.
Somebody smarter
than us. It's been longer than a week.
Yeah, I'll buy that. Correct. Amanda, when were you here last?
She probably remembers.
She remembers. She's smarter than some of us.
Yeah. No. I just pretend like I'm always here.
Yeah. I interviewed you the last time you were here, I think.
Did.
It was fun stuff. I'm holding in my hands two CDs here. Amanda Shire's latest release, which is called Downfall the Doves, and Jason's Southeastern. Two great CDs, you guys. Congratulations.
Thank you. We should have made the titles rhyme for days like this. Mine should have been something like Brown Fell the Loves or something that sounded just like yours so it would come out right. Yeah, thanks. I've had fun with those records. Have you, Amanda Shires?
Well, Jason Isbell, I've just been having nothing but fun.
Good.
I think anytime I'm playing music, I'm having fun.
Good.
I'm a terrible waitress.
I wouldn't know.
Is this like how it goes on the road with you guys?
Exactly. Yeah. We don't usually have shoes on, but everything else is the same.
Well, it's a day off for y'all, right? Or except for your gig here in Spindale, but you've got a show tomorrow night up in Asheville, North Carolina at the Orange Peel.
Yep, tomorrow night at the Orange Peel. I love that place. That's a great room.
You got Holly Williams on tour with you?
Holly's opening the show. She's got a good band with her. They sound really great, and yeah, it's been a lot of fun. We're having a good time.
So tomorrow night would be with the 420 unit.
The 400 unit.
Almost 420.
Yeah.
You know,
420 unit.
That's what we call
while
us.
We're in Asheville.
Yes.
Yeah.
My apologies. The 400 unit. Where that came from.
I wonder.
You guys.
That's live radio. But today it is.
They'll appreciate that, though.
Yeah,
they will.
Oh, yeah.
They will.
Got a spike in someone out there listening. Today it's just the two of you.
Just us.
Do you get to play a lot like this?
Yeah, we do, actually. We did a whole tour like this in Europe.
And we live together.
Yeah.
So pretty much any time we want to when we're at home. But, yeah, the Europe tour was great. Did you like that one? I liked that one.
I loved it. The difference is that at home, it doesn't start out as us playing together. It usually is like Jason yelling, that B string's out of tune. And I'm like, I can't live like this. And then we play music.
That actually happened one morning. It was pretty early on in our marriage. And I was still asleep, and she was downstairs playing. And I just rolled over. I couldn't take it anymore. And I yelled out from upstairs, the B string is flat. It's flat. It's like 20 cents flat. She said, I can't live like this.
Those of us who are non-musicians, you know, our married lives are probably different. I don't know.
I hope so, because if you're not a musician and it's the same, you've got some serious knowledge. If you're just yelling about a B string first thing in the morning.
Thank goodness. Better than a G string, right?
I mean, yeah, no. It is. It is better.
We have to get a song.
Better for me.
Okay, it is Jason Isbell and Amanda Shires, and they're live in Studio B. Jason, some stuff off your new record today.
Yeah. I've been playing those a lot lately, so I'm going to do that. This one is Different Days. Is this song? Staring at the pictures of the runaways on the wall. It seems like these days you couldn't run away at all. And even if you did, what you got to run away to? Just another drunk daddy with a white man's point of view. And I can see you in my mind's eye catching light. You'll sleep beside the river if we make it out of town tonight. You can strip in Portland from the day you turn 16. You got one thing to sell and benzodiazepine. 10 years ago I might have seen you dancing in a different light. and offered up my help in different ways, but those were different days. Those were different days. Had a girl back home and we shared a single bed. When I whisper in her ear, she believed every word I said. And if she didn't believe, she didn't dare give me slack. It was, baby, I love you, but you gotta get off of my back. Then time went by and left again. Guess Jesus loves a sinner, but the highway loves his hand. My daddy told me, I believe he told me true, that the right thing's always the hardest thing to do. 10 years ago I might stuck around for another night and used her in a thousand different ways, but those were different days. Those were different days. And the story's only mine to live and die with, and the answer's only mine to come across. But the ghosts that I got scared and I got high with look a little lost. 10 years ago I might thought I didn't have the right to say the things an outlaw wouldn't say, but those were different days. Those were different days. Those were different days.
Into that last note, didn't I?
I'm glad you got that cuss word. I almost did it.
Oh, you almost backgrounded it?
Yeah, I was like, woo.
We have a button we push.
Oh,
you,
yeah.
You'll be ejected out of the ceiling. So
good. Perfect.
Yeah.
I like a big, loud bleep. That's my favorite. I want it to be so obvious that it makes people think of things far worse than
that. What could that word have been? And it makes them dig down in the gutter.
For minutes afterward, they're thinking of horrible words. That's how I like that.
You ever read like the old Victorian novels where they put the first letter and then the line?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that stuff is disgusting.
Yeah, you know, that was such a heavy song, and then now here we are cracking jokes.
I know. That's how I like to do it, you know. I like to have really heavy songs, and I get all of that out of my system, and then the rest of the time I'm not, you know, not burdened by it, so I don't feel like I have to be all serious for the rest of the day.
Is there a catharsis kind of thing going on with you, songwriting?
Completely. Yes, completely. That and just cheap therapy. You know, it does all those things for me. I think it's a blues tradition. You know, I think a lot of people have done that for a long time. A lot of people who make the saddest music are the happiest people, and also the other way around. Mm. Everybody I've ever known who's made particularly happy music has been miserable just in their regular life. They're all just really sad. People who write those children's songs, man, they're right on the ledge.
So hopefully no children's songs coming from you.
They'll be sad children's songs. They'll be a little bit more Seussian, you know, maybe if I write something, it'll be a little more serious than what your normal kids are being fed. I don't know. We'll see.
The new CD is called Southeastern, and it really does have a very, very dark, primal kind of elemental feel to it, a lot of the songwriting on here.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. I have a hard time getting outside of that world. I mean, it feels like that's the stuff that needs the most attention. You know, so I think I naturally put my attention where it's needed, at least in my own life. And that's with the darkness, you know, peering into the abyss. It just makes more sense than than to write about happy stuff and easy stuff, because we can live all that stuff. We don't really need to talk about it.
I think that most really great art is. It's looking at the darkness. It's looking into the void, right? There's not many good happy songs or paintings.
Yeah, there aren't a whole lot, you know. Mm. Even like before we were just kind of sound checking here, I was playing Keep On Smiling, that Wet Willie song. And, you know, that sounds like a happy song, but when you really listen to it, it's you know, it's about persistence. It's not about being happy. It's about forcing yourself, you know, faking it until you make it. It's about forcing yourself to smile until you don't have to anymore. And, you know, those are my favorite kind of songs.
Mm. So we're talking with Jason Isbell and Amanda Shires over here doing this beautiful work on the violin and the harmony vocals. Show tomorrow night at the Orange Peel. The New City Southeastern, it is, I mean, I don't know how much you pay attention to the critics and all that, but your record is blowing up. I mean, it's winning award after award after award. Are you surprised?
I don't know. Yeah, I guess I am surprised, you know. I think I'm trying to be as honest as possible about this. I knew that I'd written a good record, and I knew that I had recorded a good record and I'd not messed it up in the studio. And when it was all done, you know, I had moments of, is this terrible? Is this completely not what I'm shooting for? And she reassured me, and a lot of people that were around me who I trusted reassured me throughout the process. But then when it was all done and over with, it was very exciting, you know, and I thought, yeah, this is going to be good. People are going to enjoy this. I didn't know how many people. I didn't know, you know, that the word would spread like it has. So that's been a bit of a surprise, but a pleasant surprise, you know. I think when you're a creative person and you make things and then people like the things that you make, you know, it makes you feel better about humanity in general. It's like, well, I liked it. You know, the fact that they like it means they're more similar to me than I thought they were. So that's a good thing.
Gosh, I don't know. When you're making the record, it wasn't recorded with the band, or it was partly recorded with the band.
Yeah, we brought most of them in. You know, Amanda was on some, and Chad, our drummer, was on some, and our keyboard player, Derry, was on some. And it was like I went in initially just to make a record that was mostly me and an acoustic guitar, maybe a piano and stuff like that. And Dave Cobb, the producer, and myself, we both got bored with that pretty quickly. And so we started bringing people in to join us and, you know, tried to keep that same kind of intimacy on the record without being stripped down instrumentally. Yeah, it was a really easy process. And that was a strange thing for me too, because I've been through, you know, all different kinds of recording sessions. So at the end of this one, I thought, well, should I punch the wall, you know, more often? Should it have been something that was harder to wring out of me than it was? Because looking back on it, it was just a lot of fun. And then she and I got married like the day after we finished the record. And I went back in the next day on Sunday to do like one overdub, and then we went on our honeymoon. So it was great. It's just, in my mind, it's just a big fuzzy blur of awesomeness.
I had read, like, you did the session, you went to the rehearsal dinner, you got married, you went on your honeymoon, like, poof, all in 24 hours
all
or something.
All right there, yeah.
Was that intentional? I mean, it just...
Sort of, you know.
Let's have a good weekend.
At a certain point, it became intentional, right. You know. I think we didn't necessarily plan that like a year in advance, but everything lined up. What do you think about it? You should talk some.
I agree with all that you're saying. I would have jumped in a long time ago and told you what I thought.
Yeah, I bet.
So Amanda, were you kind of watching the whole process, the songwriting, the recording unfold?
She was tying up bouquets and stuff and flowers.
I wasn't as present as I would have liked to have been for the recording, but but it turned out really great, and all the songs to me felt like they were done well, you know, like to serve the words and stuff. But no, I was around though while he was writing it, and I'm still around now.
Yeah, that's true.
Is the writing really solitary for you? Like, did you ever go, man, listen to this?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's both, you know. I think for both of us, we like to write separately where there's not a distraction or an expectation from any outside source. But then in the editing process, I believe we rely on each other quite a bit.
I think it's a communication thing, too. I think there's not a lot of people you would trust with something really, really personal and really something in its infancy. And I know where his motivations are. So,
you know, I was thinking that last time we need to get another team, but it is such a... Like a, I don't know, it's a painful song, you know, and you're talking about the intimacy of it, but you're going out on the stage in front of all these people and you're sharing this song. I mean, is that ever hard to do, like actually singing the song? Are you that deep
into
it?
Yes, it is, yeah. And it should be. It definitely should be, I think. I think you should try to put yourself in the frame of mind that you were in when you wrote a song. Every time you perform it, if possible. I mean, it's not going to be, like if I'm playing Elephant at a, you know, kid's birthday party, that might not work out too well. But you should, I think. You know, some nights you should get choked up when you sing those songs. If they're that important to you, you know, yeah, why not?
So, again, Jason Isbell and Amanda Shires are with us today here in Studio B. We're going to get another tune, another one off the CD? Or?
Yeah, we'll do another one. It's called Live Oak. Live Oak. Let's see here. Close, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not exactly in tune. Have to bear with me. I do it because I love you people. There's a man who walks beside me. He is who I used to be. And I wonder if she sees him and confuses him with me. And I wonder who she's pining for on nights I'm not around. Could it be the man who did the things I'm living now? I was rougher than the timber shipping out of Fond du Lac. When I headed south at 17, a sheriff on my back. I'd never held a lover in my arms or in my gaze, so I found another victim every couple days. But the night I fell in love with her, I made my weakness known to the fighters and the farmers digging dusty fields alone. The jealous innuendo of the lonely-hearted man let me know what kind of country I was sleeping in. Well, you couldn't stay alone or on the plains before the war. When my neighbors took to slighting me, I had to ask what for. Rumors of my wickedness had reached our little town. Soon she heard about the boys I used to hang around. We'd robbed a Great Lakes freighter, killed a couple men aboard. When I told her, her eyes flickered like the sharp steel of a sword. All the things that she'd suspected I'd expected her to fear was the truth that drew her to me when I landed here. There's a man who walks beside me, he is who I used to be. And I wonder if she sees him and confuses him with me. I wonder who she's pining for on nights I'm not around. Could it be the man who did the things I'm living down? Well, I carved a cross from live oak and a box from shortleaf pine, and buried her so deep she'd touch the water table line.
picked up what I needed and I headed south again. To myself I wonder, would I ever find another friend? There's a man who walks beside her, he is who I used to be. And I wonder if she sees him and confuses him with me.
Now you're listening to WCW Live Music today from Studio B, Jason Isbell, and that song called Live Oak. Wow, where did that song come from?
That's a fictional story. Obviously, I wasn't roaming around in those parts killing people. But it's allegorical in some ways. It came out of a concern that I had before I got sober and got my life straightened out, that I would lose some of my effectiveness, you know. And I started wondering about who, the people that were close to me, you know, what were they attracted to, which part of me did they like, and who would I lose, and who would not be as drawn to my personality afterward. Had I known then what I know now, I probably wouldn't have been able to write that song because, you know, come to find out, that's just an excuse for not quitting drinking in the first place. That was just something I was telling myself. Oh, you're not going to be as cool after you quit drinking. Well, of course you'd tell yourself that if you want another drink, you know. So I'm glad that I captured that when I did, because it certainly was something that I was tossing around in my mind.
Mm. Yeah, I know you've talked about this a lot, that you've been sober, what, for about a year now, isn't it?
It's been, yeah.
It's almost two.
Well, yeah.
February
6th. It's getting close. Yeah, I try not to, you know, might not make it to February 6th. So I try to keep it pretty. It's a year and 10, 11 months. Yeah, but, a year and 11 months.
Yeah, but getting sober, getting married, I mean, all these things, they seem so positive. Is that part of what's fed into maybe the success of this record?
Yeah.
It seemed the deepest, strongest.
Yeah, I think so. Mm. I think so. For me, I think I've done my best work when I'm happiest. Mm-hmm. I think that is possibly because things that allow me to work make me happy, you know, and possibly because I've finally gotten the right people like Amanda, you know, close to me, where I can trust people and I can trust them with the work that I do, and I can feel comfortable about that at the end of the day. And some people may not be that way, you know. Some people might need to be miserable to write good music, but I just don't think that's the case for me. I refuse to believe it if it is.
The show is at the Orange Peel in Asheville tomorrow night, and again, Holly Williams is on the bill there. I wonder, as you've matured, you know, how has your audience changed? I mean, you're still a rocker, but there's a lot more layers in there. Mm-hmm. And I wonder how your audience has changed, your relationship to audience, how you sort of feed off of that as an artist.
They seem to be more diverse now as far as, like, age groups and gender and things like that. I think as you get a little bit more popular, young people start showing up, you know, mm-hmm. a little bit more. And that's obviously no offense to the old dudes who've been collecting vinyl for 30 years, because I love those guys, and I'm sure I will be one of those guys probably in about 5 minutes, to tell you the truth. But it's nice to see a lot of different types of folks in the audience. I really like that a lot. That makes me happy. And the audience has been reacting really well to new material, which, as a songwriter, I don't think anybody could say anything makes you happier than that. Because, yeah, I play the old stuff, and I like playing the old stuff, but it's the old stuff, you know, and you want to be, I feel like if every piece of work that I does renders all the stuff before it mediocre, then I'm fine with that, I'm happy with that, you know, because it's important to improve. But, yeah, the connection with them, you know, it's an interesting thing, because it took some work. When I did get sober, I hadn't played sober in many, many years until I quit drinking. I went out on the road with Ryan Adams, and we were over in Australia and New Zealand, and she was over there on the trip with us. And the first show I played, we were in Perth, I believe, at this big, huge concert hall. You know, he was playing for big crowds of folks. It was just me solo and then Ryan solo. I was opening for him. And was terrified, you know. I went out there and it's like I'm elevated, I'm facing everybody, they all bought a ticket, you know, and now I better do something really cool. And, you know, yelled at the sound guy. I wound up going back and apologizing to the sound guy for that later. And just kind of made an ass of myself because I was frightened for a few shows. And then, you know, Ryan, he'd been through that himself, so he was a lot of help. And she was a lot of help being there. And
I thought he was really helpful when he chased you around with that Buck Owens guitar and changed all the words to your songs.
He did that a lot, I think. I like to tell myself it was to take my mind off of the pressure of playing the show.
And it worked.
It was either for that reason or he just thought Outfit needed to be rewritten as a song about
football.
And pizza. Yeah. I think in some ways I represent football to him. I'm all right with that.
I just saw, just when I was walking down the hall right before I came down here, he had just fired off a couple of tweets about
he's good about that. He's been really, really nice to us about talking to people about the work that we're doing and you know, taking me on the road on quite a few tours. I've always had a really good time with him. It's a lot of fun.
Jason, I wonder if you could speak for a minute about the new CD by Amanda Shires. Pretty good stuff.
Hot seat.
You know, I love that record. I loved playing on that record because I got to be a guitar player, and I knew the songs were there. I knew they were solid, and I also knew they weren't mine, so I didn't really have to worry too much about it. I just like, what do y'all want to hear? What kind of guitar do you want on this song? And that one day we had a pretty intense conversation because I was asking if she wanted something that was kind of Frizzell style, because the production we were doing was, you know, similar to like a Tom Waits or something like that. I said, well, you want me to play something in the Frizzell school of guitar playing? She said, oh, God, no, not for this song. Why would I want that? And I went outside, and I was standing out back for a minute thinking about it, and it hit me that she thought I meant Lefty Frizzell.
and I meant
Bill Frizzell, yeah. So I came back in and said, wait a minute. But yeah, that was really fun for me, just being a guitar player. And I love these songs, you know. I think she writes songs that are interesting, and they're more than just average vehicles for somebody to sing and look nice, you know. There's substance to those songs that I think is very literate and you know, sort of unfolds the meanings the more you listen to it. It's great. It's good stuff.
The little anecdote about Bill Frizzell and Lefty Frizzell is interesting because it's a shift for you. You used to be like the Lefty Frizzell kind of sound,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
And this
yeah.
is a totally different sound for you, it sounds like, to me, at least production-wise.
Yep. I think that's just because of the producer. I finally found somebody that understands. I don't know. I'm better at just not talking. Yeah, and then when I do it, always comes out so strange.
Yeah. Well,
can you make
more...
it sound more peanut butter and jelly and less like a cat walking on a roof, you know?
I thought this record had a very kind of a bright pop sound to it.
Thank you.
I want to point out that we did this Top 100 countdown with our listeners every year, and so both of you guys were in the Top 100 this year.
Woo!
So,
Top 100.
Thank you all for voting for us.
Yeah.
Thank you.
They will both be on stage tomorrow night along with the band at the Orange Peel up in Asheville. What time is that? 9 o'clock? Something like that?
Probably so, I would imagine. I don't know times, dates, stuff like that. But since the Orange Peel, they don't serve liquor there, so I bet we'll play probably about 9 o'clock or something. Yeah, Kane, you know what time we play?
Dennis will look it up for us. We'll
all right.
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. Is that Holly?
That's probably
that
Holly going on.
Probably
at
Holly
eight.
At yeah. 8. And then we're at 9. And,
nice.
Yeah, I like that place because they have like beer and wine. And I used to hate that about it. It used to really upset me because other people can't have whiskey while they want to come to the show. And now I enjoy it a whole lot. Everybody's pretty chill. It's nice.
All right. Cool. So, again, Jason Isbell playing live in Studio B. What's next? You want to do another one off the
let's do this. She and I have been kind of playing this song together as a duet lately. And you want to do that Z-Von song that we've been working on? I love this song. And this is one that I had missed. I love Z-Von stuff, but I'd missed this one, I think, probably because of the production, I'll say. but it's a beautiful song, and I think it works good for the two of us, if I can sing it today. Yo ho ho and a bottle of rum.
You're my witness, I'm your mutiny. I was born to rock the boat. Some may sink, but we will float. Grab your coat, let's get out of here. You're my witness, I'm your mutiny. Long ago we left its shadow, lightning flash, thunder follow. They could never find us here. You're my witness, I'm your mutiny.
It's Jason Isbell and Amanda Shires playing live in Studio V. And the Warren Zevon song. What's the song called?
Mutineer.
Yeah, what a beautiful tune.
It's a beautiful song.
Yeah, it's got that little melody. Just sticks on you.
It's a great melody. And, you know, the lyrics are simple, but I like how it's like this kind of admission that everything's not perfect, you know. He had a good eye for detail. And it's I like that, like, you know, a mutineer's not necessarily the best possible thing you could be to somebody else.
Right.
I love that.
It's a strange love song, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it is a strange love song. It's skewed. I love that.
Nice. What are you reading these days, Jason? You're a big book fan, aren't you?
Ooh, yeah. What are you reading?
You just finished Infinite Jest.
I did.
And
just
now you're reading The Maze.
The Gathering Maze.
Yeah.
Wow, that's heavy stuff, huh? Mm. David Foster Wallace.
Infinite Jest was heavy, but I loved it. I really loved it. I laughed out loud at a lot of it. I got tired of having to flip back and forth to the end notes and stuff.
Yeah, but, the little footnotes.
But yeah, it was really good. It was a really good book. I liked it a lot.
Wow. I was going to find some kind of tie between what you're reading and your songwriting, but that's a strange book.
It's a strange book. It is. Yeah, I don't know really how to talk about it. I love the fact that he doesn't give you all of the details, but he kind of does, you know. The thing is, it took me so long to read it. I was reading it for like 3 months. And
my favorite was when you'd drop it on your face when you'd fall asleep.
I'm sure that was your favorite. I'm sure that was your favorite of all things.
And then you
take drop, that,
huh? Then you drop your B string flat and try to play.
I know, yeah. Her favorite. It took a while, but by the time I got to the end, you know, for people who read that book, when it cuts off at the end, you're supposed to know what follows, I believe. And if you look back at the first 20 pages of the book, you'll go, oh, okay, you know, well, I see how this ended. But there's a space between the loop, you know. The book makes a loop itself, and there's a space missing right after the last page where if you don't remember what you read at the start of the book, you're going to be baffled. So I had to go back and read the first 20 pages again. I've never had to do that before with a book. And it made me feel kind of dumb. So I guess he did what he wanted to do.
I remember someone telling me once, though, that in songwriting, that was like the key. You had to remove more things. Like you had to leave more gaps or more spaces to make it.
You just got to choose the right details, man. That's the hard part. That's the hard part, because you can inundate people with things that don't move the story forward very easily. Or you can be broad, you know. And some people love that, you know. Songs that have big, broad lyrics are great for putting on in the background when you're having a Super Bowl party or grilling out or something. But for me, if I'm going to listen to a song, I want something that gives me the right details where I can feel like I'm in a certain place and time and... You know, the Rolling Stones always did that, and they did it with more than just lyrics. But great lyricists. You know, you listen to Randy Newman, and you know, you really get the feeling that there's a character that's speaking to you somewhere in time that's not Alabama in the 90s or whenever I first started listening to that stuff, you know. I mean, at that point, I was thinking, why would anybody love L.A., you know? And I guess I'm kind of still thinking that for the most part. But why would anybody hate short people? You know? but that wasn't always Randy. I love his liner notes in his box set where he says, you know, something to the effect of, when I wrote this song, I was being ironical, but then after the reaction that people had to the song Short People, I think I kind of feel that way now.
I meant it.
Yeah, now I mean it.
Yeah, that's funny. Jason Isbell and Amanda Shires playing live in Studio B. They're heading down to Asheville tomorrow night for a show at the Orange Peel, and then staying on the road.
Then we go up to Abingdon, Virginia,
yeah.
And then back down to Saxapaw, and then on from there, I think maybe D.C. after that. Am I getting all these right? Amazing. I must have an app that's been...
You must have drank some retention water.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a day off. That's what it is.
It's a day off, right? That's exactly what it is.
You guys, it sounds wonderful. Congratulations on the record, both of you. And Jason Southeastern's won every award you can win, I think. And,
well, not every award you can win, but...
all the good ones.
I don't think I'm going to get the Nickelodeon Kids' Choice Award this year.
Because you don't write kids' songs.
No, I don't think, the people who win those awards write kids' songs either, to tell you the truth. They don't sound like kids' songs to me.
In my experience, the best kids songs are the best adult songs.
It's true.
You know,
kids love the Beatles. There's a reason.
Tag on right. Yeah, Bob Marley. That's what they do. Scott Joplin.
Yeah. There's reasons for that. Things that move you when you're that size are going to move you later on.
Yeah. Yeah. They're better critics in some ways. Better judges.
Certainly more honest.
I did not understand the words to Benny and the Jets until recently. You know, like not my whole life, I thought it was something else.
But you knew the song, huh?
Yeah.
You love the song.
You got a Mohesu to Torezu.
Yeah.
You know, I read it on a magazine.
I like your version of it a lot.
That's why I didn't know what it was about.
Yeah, I still don't know what it's about. But
now you're even more confused.
I love your version of it.
I forgot that we were on the radio.
That's probably the best way to handle one of these things.
Oh, jeez.
It's all being recorded, too. I should mention, actually, John Watson's here from Watson Video Production, so we've gotten some video of this. Hopefully this will be up in...
My dear John Watson.
In a week or so.
Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah, that's the one. That's the guy.
Jason and Amanda, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you for having
us.
We're going
to
get one more song out of you.
Yes, we'll do another song here. Beautiful studio. It's really nice to come in and play with folks who know what they're doing, and they set stuff up, and it sounds good, and we got plenty of room. We're not crammed in somebody's closet with egg cartons on the walls and stuff. No offense to some of those stations. I know they're doing their best, but it's nice to have a little bit of luxury.
is your brother on a church cake? Seems like just a different kind of dope. Better off to teach a dog a card trick than try to have a point and make it clear. But you should know, compared to people on a global scale, our kind has had it relatively easy. Here with you, there's always something to look forward to. My angry heart beats relatively easy. I lost a good friend Christmas time when folks go off the deep end. His woman took the kids, he took clonopin, enough to kill a man of twice his size. Not for me to understand, remember him when he was still a proud man. A vandal smile, baseball in his right hand, had nothing but the blue sky in his eye. Still compared to those the stones throw away from you, our lives have both been relatively easy. Take a year and make a break, there ain't that much at stake. The answers could be relatively easy. Lucky man walk to work again, he may not have a friend left in the world. See him walking home again to sleep alone when I step into a shop, buy a postcard for a girl. And I broke the law, boys, shooting out the windows of my law. Boys, when they picked me up, I made a big noise. Had everything to blame except my mind. I should say I keep your picture with me every day. The evenings now are relatively easy. Here with you, there's always something to look forward to. My angry heart beats relatively easy. My lonely heart beats relatively easy.
Is that the right ending, Amanda?
It is now. He's the boss.
Yeah, that's how it goes now.
Relatively easy is the name of the song.
Yep, yeah. That's it.
Yeah. Wow. Jason Isbell and Amanda Sharps. I enjoy watching you all playing and communicating. It's just, you look so relaxed. You just look like you're in such a good place, and the music sounds so good.
I just follow him.
Yeah.
Unless he starts going somewhere shady.
Did you know that, Jason?
Yes, actually I did. I've turned around and looked a couple times, and there she'll be, making sure I don't go somewhere shady. It's, you know, I feel more comfortable when we're playing music than I do any other time of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else is just sort of, you know, difficult, stressful sometimes, but that part's easy. I like that kind of communication.
Mm. No, it sounds great today, and thank you so much for bringing the music in.
Thank you. Thank you for having us. Did you have a good time, Amanda?
You know it, buddy.
Okay, good. I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah, y'all have to come again.
Yeah, we will.
I'll be here tomorrow, just like I was yesterday.
Okay. I'll have a cup of water for you.
She just goes back to sleep under that table.
That's a basement crawler.
Yeah, it wouldn't be the first time. Again, tomorrow night, the Orange Peel in Nashville, and then Points Beyond out on the road. And a huge thanks to Jason Isbell and Amanda Shires. Live Studio B sessions on WCW are made possible by Sierra Nevada Brewing Company. Again, you two, thanks so much.